Pat, Lemon, Orson, Snoozeball Pod, where we go behind the scenes of our pupils' cool stories that they do outside of school. If you want to hear them.
Welcome back to Behind the News Board. Today we're stepping off the stage and into the director's chair.
We're joined by the man who recently brought the gritty, gangster-filled world of Chicago to our school stage. He is the mastermind behind our recent production of The Resistible Rise of Arturo Uy. It's Mr. Stratford.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. We meant to talk about the late nights, the backstage chaos, and the talent that made this play a reality. Welcome to the pod.
It's really kind of you.
So Arturo Uy isn't exactly a light-hearted musical, a sharp political satire about a gangster. Why did you choose this specific play for the students this year?
Oh, there were lots of reasons why I thought it was a good choice of play to do. One, because it's a Brechtian play, it has lots and lots of different parts. And obviously for a school play, you want to have a play where there's lots of people that can get involved, so we could have a really big cast. And usually with Brecht, you have maybe a cast of 10 or 15 people playing all of the roles. But in this play, we had a cast of 50 people on the stage, and mostly they were just playing one, or a couple of them played two characters within the play. So for a school play, I think that's really fantastic and really helpful. But then, obviously, and if anyone has seen the play, you'll know that there is a there are some subtle nods to current historical events. So when Brecht wrote the play in 1941, it was an allegory for Hitler's rise to power in Germany. And he set it in America in the 1930s with gangsters and using that idea of film noir, because he wanted to say essentially what happened in Germany could have as easily happened in America during the same period. And obviously when we see everything that's happening in America right now with a leader who exemplifies a lot of the ideas of Arturo Uy, and particularly the speeches at the end of the play, I think are very, shall we say, Trumpian. It seemed like a really good time to do this play. It seemed very timely. And so, yeah, those were some of the choices behind doing it. It was also a play that I knew really well. So had, yes, performed in it and directed it previously. When I didn't have that much time to get everything together, it seemed like a safe bet for something that I could just go straight into without having to do any extra research for.
Mm-hmm. Now that final curtain has fallen, how do you feel it went? Was there a specific moment during the run where you sat back and thought, yes, we've actually pulled this off?
Yeah, there was, I think it came on the second half of our second performance. So we had four shows in total, plus a dress rehearsal. And for each of the first, the dress rehearsal and the first two performances, I'm constantly scribbling notes and I'm writing things down of, oh, that person should maybe be a bit further over there, or, oh, they've missed that bit. And that was essentially my job as director, was to try and correct as many of the small things that I could see. But as soon as we got to the point on that Thursday night in the second half, I found that I'd stopped writing as many notes and I was just watching what was going on. And it was the first time that I could really enjoy it as someone that was watching it, as almost as if an audience member would. So that was really great. And then we had a situation on the Friday night where we had Miss Smith, who was helping us out behind the scenes, who very kindly agreed to do a lot of work quite last minute in order to help out what was going on. And she wasn't available on the Friday night. And so suddenly I essentially gave it over to the boys as their responsibility for getting all the props and the chairs and the furniture and the scene changes. And that's where I feel like I stopped running the show and the students started running it for themselves. So everything that happened on that Friday night happened not because a teacher was telling them to do it, but because they knew what they had to do. They'd organised it between them. So our assistant directors were basically running the show with the tech guys behind the scenes. and I was having no input, and they were doing it all themselves. So at that point, it kind of stopped being my play and started being the boys' play. And there's also that idea, obviously, in terms of the characters. The actors themselves are constantly adding things and changing things and adapting things. And there are a number of times when they would do something unexpected or something that I hadn't told them to do. And so very much from that kind of Thursday night, it was their show, and they were running it, and they were making the decisions behind it.
That's awesome. You sound very proud, which is pretty cool for anyone listening who was in the show. You have touched on these next two a little bit. So the audience only sees, obviously, the stuff on stage. Can you tell us about a little bit more maybe about what happens backstage and how much of the magic comes from the tech crew and set designs?
Absolutely. I think a huge amount of the work is to do with our tech team. Obviously, they're responsible for the lighting, the sound, how the show looks, and making sure that it all comes together. And a lot of the audience won't have seen that, obviously, we had our performance in the drama studio, and then there's an office in the back room there. And they had an entire setup of computers, of mixers, of different technical equipment to allow them to do that. So when the show is happening, they obviously aren't at the back of the studio watching it. They have a screen, a monitor, that is giving them a feed from the room, and that obviously then goes into their room, and that's where they can see the cues. So for things like scene changes, obviously we go into darkness, we wait for everyone to get into position, and then obviously they have to make the decision on when they cue the lights and when it goes up. And that can be different from night to night, depending on, you know, how quickly people are able to get on and off the stage. There was also the other complication that we had Connor, who was playing the keyboard for the performance, and he was playing a lot of the music in between these scene changes. So I'm also, for most of the performances, I was up with him, and we're having to regulate how much he is going to play, because obviously we want the scene changes to be as short as possible, but also he needs to keep playing or adapt or add a little bit more onto what he was doing, depending on how long those scene changes take. And then the tech guys obviously have to react to that and wait and hold the cues for however long that takes. So it's a lot of being very reactive and responsive, and however much you plan it and however much you know when in the script something will come, it's actually a hell of a lot of talent and perseverance that has to go into obviously making sure that things happen when you want them to happen, but also sometimes being responsive and adaptable to when things go wrong, or someone said the wrong thing, or Connor's you know, having to add more on to what he was originally going to do. So, you know, it's an incredible effort that the tech team did, and everyone that was working behind the scenes put into the play.
We know these productions aren't a one-man show, obviously. Which other teachers or external helpers were the unsung heroes of the show who helped with costumes, lighting, or keeping the cast fed and watered?
Oh, yes, we have lots of people. And I think lots of people across the school all make different contributions in different ways, which you don't see on the stage. So obviously, as I said previously, Miss Smith helped out a lot behind the scenes. But we had Miss Knapp, who was able to organise all the front of house stuff for me, the signs. We had some of the World Challenge pupils doing a tuck shop before the show and during the interval. So she organised all of that. We had, obviously, Mr. Baker in the music department that lent us the keyboard and all the equipment for Connor to play the music within the show. Then we had particularly Miss Williams. Lent a lot of her personal items for props and various things we needed. So there's lots of golf clubs that we had in the show that represented guns. So she kindly let me borrow all of those items. Mr. Ray in the DT department lent us some really great 80s radios and Walkmans and technology that reflected the time in which we were setting the play, because we set it in the 80s. It was originally set in the 30s. But the music and the props and everything, we broadly updated to that period. And probably, obviously, lots of people that I'm missing out behind the scenes. So people that either, you know, doing the printing for us, or obviously it came during the end of the financial year, so I had to ask people in the finance department to give us extensions and to buy things last minute. So it's an entirely, you know, a school effort, regardless of then all the parents and all the people that have to get the costumes together and get their sons to the shows on time and have to come late. You know, we didn't finish most of those shows until about 9:30. So that's a huge commitment from the parents as well. So it really is an entire school community effort that goes into making a production such as the one we've just done, not just me coordinating it and running it on the night.
And obviously, you know, people won't realise that amount of time that goes into it. We're wondering how much of your own time goes into it between rehearsals and obviously everything that you've mentioned just then. Do you think you're on, what could you say, on a week, a weekly, hourly thing for you there?
Yeah, so definitely overall it's hundreds of hours in terms of, obviously I had to find the script, had to go through the script. At that point I made a lot of creative decisions about sort of maybe what sound effects I might want, or how I obviously wanted to think about how I was going to direct the scenes, because I think it's really important as a director that you go into a play and you know you have an idea for what you want to do. It's very difficult if you just get to the rehearsal room and you just, you know, don't know what you're doing, because the actors need direction. And then, so I spent a lot of time with the scripts, going through that, making sure I knew what I wanted. I sometimes drew little pictures for each scene as to where I wanted people to broadly stand, make sure we're using all of the different staging. And that's even before we've started the auditions.
Yeah.
And obviously the auditions took place over a week of lunchtime. So obviously that was about probably an hour a day for a week. Then obviously we started rehearsals for this at the start of January, and we would generally have four or five rehearsals a week, which would each be either half an hour or an hour. We started that, so it's about 6 weeks I think we had of rehearsals, so that's an extra 5 or 6 hours a week. And then obviously in the run up to the show, we had a couple of days off of timetable, but in the week of the show, obviously we're all here until, well, I was locking up around 10 o'clock.
Directing gives you a front row seat to some incredible growth. Were there any students who surprised you with their performance?
Yes, lots of students are incredibly surprising in lots of different ways. I think the really nice thing was that they start to take a kind of accountability for their own performances, and that they would often do things that would surprise me in either rehearsals or during the performances themselves. We had a part where Wilf, who played one of our gangsters, we had music in between each of the scenes, and he came in at the start of a scene and was this horrible, you know, gangster character they've just killed one of the other gangsters, and he comes on and it was Another One Bites the Dust is the tune, and he then starts humming it as he's walking away from the scene. And it just things like that where I hadn't told him to do that, but he completely understood the kind of tone and what he was trying to get across. And that, I think, for lots of the students, we've already spoken about how in scene three, there's this whole sort of play within a play happening, which was nothing to do with me. I hadn't told the students to do this. But each night it grew and was more creative. And yes, I think a lot of, certainly the performances in terms of the emotions and how the students choose to convey their characters is them. And as an actor, that's the creative element that you have. I'm broadly telling people where to stand and what I want them to do in the scene. But after that, you know, I think as a director, you have to try and stand back and allow the performers to perform in the way that they think best for the character, because they will have probably spent longer thinking about their specific characters than I have as a director who's across all of the rest of the play. As long as they've got the tone right, and I think that is essentially what you're doing as a director, you're conveying what tone you want the characters to, how you want them to perform. All the time that they understand that, then it's their freedom to be able to do what they want within that tone that you've set for them.
I think I know the answer, But I will ask, do you think we have any students in the cast who genuinely have a chance to make it as a professional actor in the future, or actress?
We certainly have students that have the talent to be able to do so. Absolutely, I would say that there are some very competent, able performers, and lots of people that I think would be able to become actors if they put their mind to it. Having worked in theatre, I'm always worried or dubious of how difficult it is to actually become a professional actor, because as glamorous a job as it is and as creative a job as it is also really difficult for the majority of people that are doing it, because you don't have consistent work, you're constantly getting rejections for roles, and it's often nothing to do with the talent that you have as a performer, but everything to do with, are you the right fit for this part, or do you have the right look, or are you the right height, or actually you don't quite fit with the other person we want to cast for this role. So as an actor, so much of what you do is outside of your control that it becomes a really difficult job to be able to do. And unless you are in the sort of top 5% of actors that are constantly in work and constantly doing really interesting work, then it is a real struggle and a chore. So I would always caveat things with, we certainly have students that would have talent to become actors, but just making sure that they know if they want to go into that as a career, what to expect, because I think it is really difficult and requires a hell of a lot of resilience and effort and perseverance. And there are certainly many easier ways to make money in a career than acting.
Mm-hmm. What's the one piece of advice you'd give to a student who's brilliant on stage but is terrified of their first big audition?
Oh, what a fantastic question. Awesome. I suppose it comes down to, for me as a play, when I was watching it, there were always sort of maybe small things where I think, oh, that person's not quite standing in the place, or all that lighting cue could have come in earlier. And what I forget is that 95% of the show is the show, right? It's everything that we've rehearsed, and I will pick up on all the small things that go wrong in a way that the audience seeing it for the first time won't. And so I think it's exactly the same in the audition. If you've prepared for a part, if you've read it through, if you've made your creative choices, 95% of that is in the moment, and so you don't need to worry about stumbling over a line or making a mistake. And I think for a lot of people, it is often the anxiety and the nervousness that is the thing that can sometimes make it more difficult for them in a rehearsal, because you become, or in an audition, because you become very aware of all the small things that you're doing. And actually, it's just about taking a deep breath, about giving your performance, not worrying if you muck up on a line or you say the wrong thing, just going with it. And I think if you're able to do that as a performer, then often the rest of the work will speak for itself and people will make the decisions that they do from there.
Right, so this is the quick fire round. These are the, like, directing addition.
Okay.
Questions.
Yes.
Ready? Right. Who is more dramatic, the students on stage or the teachers in the staff room?
I would say the students.
What is your director's fuel of choice, tea, coffee or pure adrenaline?
Coffee.
If you could have any Hollywood actor cameo in a school play, who would it be?
Oh, I would love to have someone like Tom Hiddleston come in. He would be fantastic as one of our gangsters.
Most annoying thing a student can do in a rehearsal?
Not show up or be late.
The show must go on. What's the weirdest thing you've had to fix on short notice?
Well, when I was at school, we once had a school play where our drama teacher had to go on as the main part. And it was A Tale of Two Cities, and it all requires two people looking very similar to each other. So it gets to the big reveal, and suddenly no one in the audience understood what was happening, because we had our drama teacher, who was about 50 years old, and our other character of someone that was 15 years old. So there are just sometimes in theatre where you can't sort of address all of the issues that you would like.
If you had to play a role in Ocho Uwe, which character would you be?
Well, I did perform as Jiri when I was at school. So Wilf, who I mentioned earlier, had the unenviable task of portraying a character that I had previously acted as.
it is, I think, the best role in the play, because it's not that many lines. You get to steal a load of scenes and you get to wear a load of different hats. So it is, I think, the best part and the reason why I love it. And the reason, if I ever got a chance to be in it again, I would definitely want to play that part.
Shakespeare or modern drama?
I would suggest you can't have modern drama without Shakespeare, so Shakespeare.
Mr. Stratford, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for giving up your time to the students and for us today, and to make everything such a great experience on the stage.
Mm-hmm. We're already looking forward to seeing what you have planned for the next production. And remember, thanks for listening to Behind the News Board. Join us next time as we share another story from our school community.
Pat Lennon Orson's Newsboard Pod, where we go behind the scenes of our pupils' cool stories that they do outside of school. If you want to hear them.